You're listening to the podcast at First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
This morning, we are celebrating 10 years of being in the very building. Many of you remember those pictures. I believe that we were out in the foyer 10 years ago on this Sunday, starting 10 years ago. And, you know, I just believe that the best is yet to come. It's been so amazing to see what God has done up to this point. And I love the incredible stories that were shared. We are able to capture literally hours of testimony, and we're going to use those down the road. But from people who were a part of the committees and the people that helped us to get into this building. And you know, what's amazing to me is one of the visions was that this would be a lighthouse on for this city. And I believe that truly is going to happen. Amen. And it truly has happened. The church is over 90 years old. And when the church was first founded, the focus was, how do we reach people? How do we reach people who are far from God? And that vision has not changed. That's still our focus. That is still what we want to be doing and be about the Father's business. And I think today that's more than important than ever when you look at the world around us. Amen. That we are on the Father's business of reaching the lost and doing all that we can to see God do incredible things. So a great 10 years, and it's only the beginning. Amen. It's only the beginning of what God wants to do. And I pray that you're excited about the mission of reaching people and helping people find Jesus and find freedom. Amen. Well, man, what a great day. We've got a celebration out in the lobby afterwards. Lots of great things are happening, and it's just been so great. One of the other things about a 10-year process or something that you can look back on is you always see God's hand of providence in that. And I love to be able to look back and say, God, you've never forsaken us. You've never left us. Lord, thank you for bringing us to a place where we can reach more people. And this building is a great, and we don't worship our building, but it's a great tool that we have to be able to use and help God help. Reach people. So today it's a great celebration. Thank you to all that were a part of that. Thank you to all that shared their testimonies and their stories. I want to speak to you for a few moments. We are in the series Success and Significance. My goal for you is that in your life that you would find success, but then you would take that success and use it to be significant in the lives of others, to find a way to pour out yourself and touch other people's lives. When you look at the idea of success and significance, success is knowing your purpose in life, growing to your maximum potential, and sowing seeds that benefit you. Significant happens when we put other people first. When we say, God, I want to pour my life into others. It's when a person's thinking changes from what's in it for me to what can I do for others. I love what John Maxwell says in this statement here. Success is when I add value to myself. Significance is when I add value to others. And I want to tell us that when we move from success to significance, that's where you're going to find fulfillment in your life. That's where you're going to find the greatest fulfillment is when you pour into others. In fact, we were designed to take our lives and to pour into others. And we've talked about this. Many people will settle into one of three areas: survival, success, or significance. And I want to encourage you, don't just settle for surviving. I believe God has so much more for you than what you've seen up to this point. And just because you're in this moment of, man, I'm just barely surviving, doesn't mean that that will be what it is forever. You walk in God's direction and God's path for your life. And not only are you going to survive, but you'll thrive. And not only will you thrive, but you're going to find success. It won't always be like where you're at this very moment. So don't give up. Some of you, you might be discouraged in this room today, just going, man, I can't seem to get out of survival mode. And I want to tell you, there's a time coming where God is going to help you with that. And there's going to be success that will come. You keep following his direction for your life. You keep following his path, and God will help you to find success. And when you find that success, I want to encourage you, turn that into significance. Take every moment of success, every bit of success that you have in your lives, and turn it into significance by investing in others. That's where you find the greatest amount of fulfillment. Many times when we hear the word success, we think someone's made a great deal of money. But I want to tell you something. You do not have to be rich to make a significant impact on other people's lives. You might say, well, I'm going to wait till I have enough finances. Don't wait. Don't wait. Turn the success you have into life into significance. Everyone in this room, I don't care where you're at in your financial standings. I don't care whether you have money or you don't have money. Every person in this room can be significant. And that's by turning your life in helping other people. Having money alone doesn't bring fulfillment. Money should just be the tool that we can use to be significant in other people's lives. Amen? And I'm not against having money. I think that that is a part of success when God blesses you. But it's what we do with that that determines whether we're just going to be successful or we're going to be significant. Taking that and turning it in to help other people. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about this journey of success to significance. It's a journey. It's part of our spiritual journey. You don't wake up just one day and go, well, finally, I'm significant. Now I'm significant. It's a part of a journey. It happens one step at a time. When you strive to live a life of significance, and what I'm saying is when you strive to live a life of significance, what are you striving for? You're striving to help other people. You're striving to pour your life into other people's lives. And I'm going to tell you, it will make all the difference in the world. When you pour your life, that's what we're striving for. If you'll allow God to lead and direct your paths, there are going to be regular divine appointments. And I want to talk to us today about these divine appointments that God brings into our lives that many times will turn into divine connections. You might go, are they different? Yes, and I want to tell you why I think divine appointments and divine connections are different. But divine appointments normally will turn into, many times will turn into divine connections. Many times God's plans and direction don't necessarily make sense to us. We may not understand why God's taking us where he's taking us, which is exactly what we find in Acts today. The story, when you look at it, it doesn't make sense on a human level. And we're going to dig into that here in just a moment. But we have to remember, God's ways are not our ways. His map looks different for your life than what you probably think his map should look like. There are times when God will take you in a different direction because he has a plan and a purpose. And I want to challenge us, don't miss those times. When God takes you in a direction that you weren't expecting, enjoy the ride. Don't sit and worry about it. When things don't make sense, we still have to be aware of God's divine appointments. I want to challenge you, don't spend so much time asking why when your plans go sideways. Start asking what. God, what do you have for me? What are you trying to do when your plans are different than my plans and you take me a different direction? A divine appointment is a meeting with another person that's been specifically and unmistakably ordered by God. Divine appointments happen in our lives all the time if you will watch for them. In fact, I believe you could have a divine appointment every day of your life. God will put you in places that is divine. We have to make sure our spiritual radar is turned on so we don't miss these divine appointments. There is not one thing in your life that happens just by happenstance. I want to tell you, every moment, if your steps are ordered by God, that means every step, and I've heard believers, well, I wonder if that was just coincidence. There is no such thing as coincidence in the kingdom. God has every step ordered for you. He has everything in line for you. I'm amazed at how many divine appointments become divine connections. And divine connections are when you meet somebody that if you partner with them, they're going to, together, you guys are going to spread the gospel. You're going to minister. You're going to have a divine God connection that you're going to see God do incredible work. It reminds me of when we met Pastor Samuel Rodriguez at TBN. And when we were telling the story of John Smith, and it was just like you couldn't even set this up. I mean, like you couldn't, the date had been changed two or three different times, and this man comes up and starts talking to us. And we're just talking to him. We were there with Pastor Sammy, and we start talking to this guy, and we talked to him for 45 minutes where he's just talking to us, and he's so nice, and he's talking to us about miracles from heaven. And he comes back, and he says, by the way, my name is Devon Franklin. I'm the executive producer of Miracles from Heaven. And from that point, it has just been an incredible ride. We could have never set it up. Somebody asked me the other day. They were emailing, talking on the phone. They said, how do you get a movie? I go, I have no idea. I don't know how you do that. I mean, God just showed up. I mean, like, honestly, I couldn't even talk to one of my friends that works at Sony, and he said, listen, people would give anything just to be there for 5 minutes. But you see, there was a divine connection where God said, I want to use this. I want to take this story. I want to share it with the world. Devon's going to be here on the 29th of October. You're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be an awesome Sunday here at First Assembly. But those divine connections happen not only to me, but they happen to you too. You're going to find divine connections where God will put you together with somebody who can make an incredible impact in the kingdom. But it starts with a divine appointment where God says, listen, I want you to meet with this person. I want to bring this person into your path. I want to tell you, we're better together. When God connects us with people who have like minds and like hearts, we're better together. We're better when we work together. We're better when two or three are gathered. The scripture tells us we're like that strand that can't be broken. And I think that God wants to do divine connections in your life so that you can be incredibly used by God. Don't miss these divine connections. Don't miss these divine appointments. Maybe it's at work where God brings you into an appointment with somebody who's a coworker, and all of a sudden you have a connection. You're like, man, we're going to minister together in our office. Man, we're going to work together to tell people about Jesus and to share who Jesus is. They're life-changing. And this is exactly what happened in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 16. Pastor Jason did a great job taking us through this story. If you have your notes, I want to challenge you to pull them out there in your worship guide. But I want to do a quick review so you understand the context of what happened. In Acts 16, 6 through 10, last week, you see that Paul and Silas and Timothy were kicking off the second missionary journey. And as this story unfolds, the Holy Spirit stopped them two times from going to where they thought they were supposed to go. Paul goes, well, I think we're going to go to Asia. That's where I think we're going to be. And we don't know how the Holy Spirit stopped them, but the Holy Spirit stopped them and said, no, I don't want you to go there. Have you ever been stopped but don't know what the plan is? You're just standing there waiting. We call it maybe you're in the hallway where all these doors you see, but none of them seem to be open. God will use those times to stop and just say, okay. And when you get stopped, don't get frustrated. Take a moment and stop and pray and say, okay, God, you're changing my direction. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to be doing in my life? That could be your job. It could be many different things where God will stop you and you're just in this waiting period. Those waiting periods can be good if you'll embrace them and say, God, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to show me? What are you trying to encourage me to learn? So then Paul goes, well, I'm going to go somewhere else, and starts to head down another direction, and the Holy Spirit stops him again. Says, no, I don't want you to go there. And they were just stopped there in this waiting period going, God, what do you have for us? And in the midst of, I think you have to understand what Paul and Timothy and Silas, how driven they were to share the gospel. So as they were driven to share the gospel, they're seeing all these opportunities that they think are so important pass them by. And God's saying, listen, those are good opportunities, but I have a divine appointment. If you'll just wait here, if you'll just hang out here for just a moment, I've got a divine appointment. And I love their response because they just did exactly what we need to do when these times come. They stopped and prayed. They sought the Lord. They didn't worry. They said, okay, God, we're going to be there. Timothy and Paul, they were at a standstill. They did not know where the Holy Spirit wanted them to go. If you're at a holding period in your life, sometimes we say, God, what's wrong? What are you trying to, you know, are you trying to punish me? God, no, God is trying to show you, set you up for that next divine appointment. So don't get worried. It's a good question to probably say, okay, is there anything that's holding me back? God, show me. But 9 times out of 10, he's saying, listen, just hold here because I've got a divine appointment. If you'll just follow me and you'll follow my direction. And they did. They followed God's direction. And one night, Paul had this vision of a Macedonian man, where all of a sudden this Macedonian man said, we need help. We need help. Come to Macedonia. Come to Philippi. Come. We need your help. And the moment that Paul heard this, he said, that's it. That's where we need to go. And they started heading in that direction. They did not wait. And I want to challenge us. When God gives you direction, you go right away. Don't stay in that hallway. When the doors open, run after it. Go after it. And I don't care whether it seems like a small assignment or a big assignment. If somebody needs the gospel, go. That's how we significantly pour into lives. When an opportunity shows up, don't wait. See, what we do normally is we'll go, well, I wonder if that's God. Should I do it? Should I talk? It's like what happens to me on an airplane. I've told you this before. And this summer has been an object lesson on divine appointments for me. I've flown a couple of times. And many of you know, and you might be surprised, that I am a little bit on the introverted side. So I don't like talking when I'm on an airplane. I put my headphones on, and really, I have them on before I even get onto the plane, so no one even wants to. I'm like, don't talk to me. Like, I'm resting. I need a little bit of time. Anybody like that? You get on a plane, and you're just like, okay, don't talk to me. And invariably, you get placed by somebody who wants to talk. And I'm just like, okay. So the Lord's been teaching me by divine appointments on airplanes this past summer, where I flew from San Francisco into St. Louis, and I moved my seat around thinking the seat next to me was empty, but guess what? Surprise, somebody was right next to me. And we kind of started talking. I'm like, I had my headphones on. I didn't get them on fast enough. And he started talking to me. He's like, you know, and young guy, I mean, probably 26 years old. He starts telling me about his life and how, you know, what's going on in his life. He's a young venture capitalist in San Francisco that does like $8 million in loans every month. And I'm fascinated. By the time the flight was over with, we had talked the whole flight. And I told Paul, I'm going, I'm exhausted. I text her, I go, I talked the whole flight. But there was this divine appointment where God set it up. I was able to tell him about the movie that's coming out, and he's like writing it down, and he's going to it. He's going to see. He doesn't serve the Lord. He's a Jewish brother. But I believe God's going to touch his heart from that divine appointment. We were able to talk through. Then I get on a flight from L.A. to St. Louis. We just dropped Avi off, and I get put next to this girl, and she starts crying. I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to have to talk to her. Like, I even had my headphones on, right? And I'm like, oh, I'll pretend, you know, that she's not there, and hopefully it's going to be okay. But she keeps on crying, and I go, okay, I got to talk to her. The Lord just kept nudging my heart. So we started talking, and if you're a lady, you might know this. Most guys, we're not going to know this. But she was an executive at Too Faced Makeup. So if you've been in Sephora, I went and looked at it with Paula. I didn't go in by myself. I went in with Paula. Pretty awesome stuff. But come to find out, she had been away from the Lord. And she was coming here to visit a boyfriend, and I was able to share the gospel with her this whole trip. And as she was getting off the plane, she said, Jason, this was a divine appointment. This was a divine appointment. And I thought to myself, okay, God, I won't put my headphones on as quick. But I tell you what, when we get to the airport today, I'm putting my headphones on, all right? I'm just kidding. God will use us and guide us and direct our paths if we're open to divine appointments. And it's interesting because there were divine appointments on this trip for Paul and Silas and Timothy to Macedonia. And I'm gonna move through this, but there was a divine appointment. The first divine appointment was with Dr. Luke. Anybody know that name, Luke? They met Luke at this moment. If they would not have gone to Macedonia, Luke was the writer of the book of Acts, and he would join Paul and Silas and Timothy at this point. You can see an interesting change. In fact, if you read the narrative of Acts 16:8, it goes from the third person, they, to verse 10, which is written in first person, we. Luke would be one of the most powerful writing forces in the New Testament. Did you know that Luke was not saved when Jesus was resurrected? Luke had gotten saved after that point. And all of a sudden, so they're here and they meet Luke, and he becomes part of the trip, this doctor who would care for souls and would become an incredible asset to the kingdom. And then we get to Luke, our Acts 16:11 through 15. I want to read it together. We boarded a boat at Troas and sailed straight across the island of Samothrace, and the next day we landed at Nephelis. From there, we reached Philippi, a major city of that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, a little FYI, this is one of my absolute favorite stories in the Bible. I just tell you that. On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where they thought people would be meeting for prayer, and we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth, who worship God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household were baptized, and she also asked us to be her guests. If you agree that I'm a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home. And she urged us while we agreed. She was a very strong lady who would not have taken no for an answer from these guys. She was a business lady. She was sharp. Lydia was the second divine connection. In fact, I believe that God took Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Dr. Luke to meet specifically with Lydia, one person. Isn't it amazing how God will go out of his way to meet one person? The divine connections where God cares about one person so much that he says, I will take some of my most precious people to put in one person's way. Can you imagine how confusing that would have been for Paul as he's walking through this? He could have had the opportunity to reach thousands of people if he would have went on his plan. God took him to reach one lady. how different that would have seemed in Paul's perspective. I'm sure that they, as they arrived, when Paul and the men arrived in Philippi, they stayed there several days, which means they were at a standstill again. They had nothing to do. They showed up, and they said, okay, God, you called us here. Now what? Silence. Cricket, 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 cricket. I'm sure, and I don't know, maybe they're better than me, but some thoughts would have come into my mind. I wonder what would have, did we miss it again? God, what are you up to? We came all this way. Did we not hear from you? There was so much potential in our original plans. God, why did you change them? We can't see in Scripture that they ever asked those questions, but I just think from a human perspective, they're sitting there going, what are you doing? Like, we have so much opportunity to reach these people, and you brought us here, and we're just sitting. We can't see in Scripture that they ever asked. They just obeyed the Spirit's leading. Man, I think we've got to stop asking the questions why and just say, God, wherever you lead me, I will follow. After a couple days, they went down to the water, and they met a group of ladies. In that group, there was a lady by the name of Lydia. Again, this would have been so confusing to Paul, I'm sure, because he saw a Macedonian man, and all of a sudden, he's surrounded by women. Like, God, I mean, and in that perspective, you know, back then, they would look at that differently because there wasn't even enough men in Philippi to start a Jewish synagogue. So they went down, and they ministered to the ladies, and I'm so thankful that they did. It would have been so confusing, but they went. They went, and they met, and they shared the gospel with Lydia. It was a divine connection that God brought Paul and the men to Philippi for one person. Don't ever question God's divine appointments. If it's for one person, it's worth it. If it's for one person, who was Lydia? Why was this such a divine connection? Lydia was a businesswoman who sold purple cloth. You might go, well, purple cloth, what's the big deal about that? Back then, to dye purple cloth, it would take thousands of little crustaceans to make this purple dye to do the purple cloth. And what you would see, purple cloth in the New Testament was very, very valuable. It was a sign of status and wealth. It was the color of Roman royalty. This lady, Lydia, was very rich. She was very influential. She had many connections. She would probably sell to the Roman government. This lady was connected. She was a connected business lady. The Bible tells us she was originally from Thyatira, a town well known for making purple cloth. Lydia knew God, but she'd never given her heart to the Lord. God brought Paul to Lydia in Philippi for a divine appointment and then a divine connection. Scripture would tell us that the Lord would open up Lydia's heart and she would give her heart to Jesus. And after she believed, she was baptized. Why was this so significant? It was a significant moment to the spread of the gospel. It was a moment where God said, I have a plan. It's bigger than what you can see, but if you will follow me, there's going to be something I'm going to do that's incredible. Up to this point, the gospel had only been spread and had gone no further west than Asia Minor. And it's interesting that on Paul's journey, that's where he was going back to. But God was saying, no, I want it bigger than that. I want it bigger than Asia Minor. I want it to start to spread. God changed his plan. Lydia was a native to Asia Minor, but she was in this capital of Philippi. She was there in Philippi, and it would be the first person recorded to be saved in Europe. Lydia would be the very first person to be saved in Europe. She had come from Asia Minor, but she was now in Europe. Later in the biblical history, we discover that there's a church in Thyatira. We read about it in Revelation. And was it possible? Because Paul didn't go back to that city. Was it possible that Lydia planted a church there? We're not sure, but we read about it in Revelation, so we know something happened. We also know there's a church that gets planted in Philippi. That's where the book of Philippians comes from. And Lydia was a major player in that. It's amazing to see God's divine appointments and connections come together. God rerouted Paul and his friends and also assured that Lydia would be in the right place at the right time to encounter Paul and hear the gospel, hear the good news, hear the news of Jesus. Divine appointments and divine connections happen in our lives when God reorders our plans sometimes. And he says, no, I want you to go here, and I want to see lives changed. Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke made a significant impact with their lives because they followed God's plan. And remember, Paul and Silas and Timothy and those men, they're normal people just like you and I. And I believe that each person in this room, you have the potential, if you'll follow God's plans, to make this kind of an impact. It's not just pastors. It's just not the people that stand on this stage. The real incredible thing is, when we go out into the world that we live in, and we look for divine connections, divine appointments, and we begin to change people's lives one person at a time. God has divine connections in your life. When you ask the Lord to give you a life of significance, be watching for the divine appointments that He brings into your life. And when those divine appointments happen, then be looking for the divine connections where He wants to partner you with somebody. Exactly what happened with Lydia. I've got 4 points to share, and I'm going to go very quick, and we're done. Truth number one, success and significance comes when we allow God to direct your paths. We allow God to direct our path. God, in the morning, my day is dedicated to you. Take me wherever you want me to go. Direct my path, even if it looks different than what I expect, even if it looks different than what I thought it was going to look like. God, you guide and you direct my path. That's exactly what happened. When we allow God to guide our paths, we're giving Him control. God, I'm not in control. You are. Guide my path. Go where God tells you to go and do what God calls you to do. And don't ask the question why. If you stop and think about it, you may not do it. Just go. Open up, look at your life and say, God, wherever you want me to take me, I will go. Truth number two, don't miss God's divine appointments. We have to have our spiritual radar on. Have our eyes open. God, every divine appointment that you're going to put me in front of today, I want to have my eyes open. And you think about this, Paul and Silas and Timothy, they could have easily missed the divine appointments that were happening. They could have easily said, man, I thought you were bringing me here to minister to a man, and there's these women, so hey, I'm out of here. They didn't, though. They said, God, okay, wherever you take us, we're willing to go. Wherever you go, one person in her family got saved. It wasn't a mass of people. You may make a difference in one person's life, but who knows who they're going to reach. Those divine appointments. Paul seemed to be on a mission that was going nowhere. All of a sudden, he meets Lydia, a woman that would be the linchpin in the church of Philippi. The church would go on to be one of Paul's greatest success stories. All because Paul and his team, in fact, the Philippian church would support him when hardly anyone else would. It's amazing to see this divine connection that God set up with Paul for the rest of his life. Truth number three, God opens hearts for divine connections. God may call you to speak to somebody who you're like, they're never going to listen to me. There's no way. And I want to tell you something. If God calls you, you better get ready because He'll open their hearts. If God calls you, I mean, you think about Paul. Paul and Lydia, they were on two different spectrums of society. Here you've got Paul, who doesn't even own a home, and Paul is talking to Lydia, who is one of the rich business ladies of that. I'm sure Paul would have thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to talk to her, and she's just going to ignore me, right? I mean, like, that's what we would think, right? If we ran into somebody like that, if we ran into, President Trump, let's say, man, I'd have a lot to say to him, but I'm just saying, maybe that's not a good, I'm going to go somewhere else. Let's think of somebody else, somebody that you run into that you're just like, you know, a cards player. I don't know. Pick anybody. But we get intimidated, don't we? If they're more popular or they've got more wealth than we do, we get intimidated. We think, oh, they're never going to listen to us share the gospel. There are people in your life that you thought, man, they're never going to listen to me, but I challenge you, go try it. God might be opening their heart, which is exactly what He did with Lydia. God opened Lydia's heart. Sometimes it's excruciatingly, if I can say the word, that's it. Difficult. Maybe that's my difficult moment right now. Excruciatingly difficult to talk to people about our faith. We get tongue-tied. We feel foolish. Thank you. Yes. We feel convinced that they're not going to listen to what we say, and that's quite right. We can't change their hearts, but God can. And He'll open their hearts to listen if you will go and do what God's called you to do. Truth number four, God uses divine connections to transform lives. I don't know about you, but I love to see people's lives transformed. For Lydia, her life was transformed. She had everything on this earth that would make her feel like, man, I've got it. But she was missing the one thing, and that's Jesus. She had all the wealth. She had all the popularity. But she didn't have Jesus. And God set this divine transformation up, this divine connection, so that she could experience Jesus and that her life would be completely transformed. And not only her life, but her household. I love to watch people's lives be transformed. And when you find a life of significance, you are going to see, as you pour your life into others through divine appointments and divine connections, you will see people's lives transformed. you'll see their lives transformed. And I don't know about you, but when you meet somebody who's saying, man, I'm desperate for something to happen, and you have the answer, and his name is Jesus, doesn't that change everything? And you're able to say, listen, I've got the answer for you. His name is Jesus, and he loves you, and he wants to transform your life, and he cares about you so much. And in these divine appointments, it's exactly what happens. God is able to transform people's lives. Those divine appointments and divine connections, don't miss the opportunities that God sets up, even if it's different than what you thought. My challenge for you is to make it very practical. Tomorrow when you go to work, God, give me divine opportunities. Give me divine connections. When you go to the grocery store, when you go out to wherever you're doing tomorrow, whatever your plans are tomorrow, say, God, I want my plans to be your plans. Give me those divine appointments so that I can minister and I can see people's lives changed. Amen? Let me pray for you real quick and we're done. Jesus, we love you, Lord. God, I thank you that you set up divine appointments and divine connections, Lord. Lord, appointments that are set up so that we can make an impact in other people's lives, Lord. God, I thank you that in our lives right now, Lord, there are Lydias. There are people that we know who need to be transformed. God, give us a divine appointment. Give us a divine appointment, Lord. God, I pray that even this week, God, a divine appointment, a divine connection, Lord, to be able to share your love and your goodness, Lord. God, for people that are in the middle of the hallway, just like Paul, they're like, God, I don't know what you've got going on here. I'm just at a standstill. Lord, I pray that you would just enlarge their trust. Lord, that you just enlarge their trust. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, God. Lord, I thank you for the divine appointments, divine connections, Lord, that are going to happen in our lives when we keep our eyes open. Lord, we...